for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM, coming up where you can hear me a little bit. And specials tonight, I guess it'll be DD and K. Dave, Derek, and Ken.
There you go, yeah.
Derek Robinson in the studio with us tonight. I was not supposed to be here. Supposed to have had a ball game and got canceled due to shortage of players, and one of my players had a car accident this afternoon, so that kind of kept us at home, went to practice, and come on out the studio.
Well, on one hand, as hot as it is, probably not too bad in that regard, although you'd love to be able to get in a game with your girls, especially on the road. Even though it would have been a later game, still, anytime you at this time of the season, right, you want to try and get in those extra games if you're able to, especially a makeup game.
Well, there were several people that wanted us to play. Some did not really want us to play. I mean, I get it with testing going on here at the school, but everybody pretty much in that same boat. But I think the way I look at it, our kids need to play. We're slumping right now. You got to find a way to get out of the slump. You don't want the slump to be your last game, so... more games you can get in, the better chance you got someone somewhere breaking the slump.
Yeah, and at that point, you were on a three-game winning streak, and now at this point, you're on a five-game losing streak. And even last night, you and I talked briefly. I feel like that the games that, you know, I've seen over this last little stretch, well, they've lost those games. They're batting. They're going back to chasing after bad pitches. Mm-hmm. Or they're not picking up the pitches. I'm not sure which, but when they're patient and they're on, they find success at the plate. And unfortunately, like I said, they're kind of chasing after them, not seeing them, something. And then obviously, even going back to last night's game, too many errors, you know, that were costly as far as some runs. And you hate to have that happen. Obviously, yeah. You kind of had to reshuffle your lineup based on some of those injuries and things like that.
My Wickline go down about a week and a half ago. Had a fight with the fence, and fence usually wins. And hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. Desi Plavnik had been injured a little bit on and off. Now had a car accident today, so hopefully she'll be back tomorrow. We'll see. I've had seniors gone on a senior trip for a game, and then one senior gone for an entire week. So it's one of those kinds of deals where it's the spring. It is what it is. It's just those things come up in the spring, in the senior year, usually right about tournament time, which you can't help where you are in the school. You can't help where you are in the season. I just wish it's kind of like old days. And if you sign up to play, you're there every game and you don't miss one.
Well, it could even go back to prom, right? Once that happens, your spring break, and all of a sudden it's, you get to that tail end after spring break, and things kind of get a little crazy as far as the scheduling.
Well, when you got, if you're at the high school level, or even if you're at the middle school, you've got testing window, you've got prom, you've got graduation. Law school is going to be graduating before we're finished with our season. You've got, obviously, seniors will be finished by Friday, which we've got 2 more weeks left after this, 2.5 weeks left. And they're pretty much finished by Friday. And there's just so many distractions.
Yeah.
And not everybody. Everybody has to deal with it. It's the same way. But when you look at the rosters all over the region, I think I said this a couple weeks ago. If you added Powell County's and Estill's seniors together, you cover the entire region plus a couple.
Oh, agreed.
I mean, there's
sure.
there's 10 seniors on those two teams, and I counted the other day, and I only counted 4 seniors in the region or 5. There's not many seniors in softball. So the seniors are the most distracted because of what's going on. But that's a normal thing. I wish we'd go back to the fall, play in the fall, and let football deal with it in spring.
Probably not a bad idea.
Well, I mean, some states do it that way. It makes sense if you move the seasons because you've got all your travel ball that you played all summer just rolls right into your season. Or the flip side of that is all those travel guys get a break. Then they start the season in the spring. So they probably need a break from the travel ball schedule, but it would be nice to play a full season with no distractions.
Well, on one hand, going back to your point as far as even football, not a bad idea actually to have it in the spring. At that point, most professional, well, collegiate anyway, is already out of the way. People are looking for football, so therefore they can go from college. Now you go to high school. And
yeah, the USFL, you know, I think, is already going out there. Rather playing.
That so. And the XFL. XFL, two leagues.
Two different football leagues.
Yeah. Well,
football is a very popular sport, so we'll see how, when it expands, what they do. That's a different conversation. But, again, tonight's game was canceled at Jackson City, so if we've got fans going, turn around, come back. We're not playing tonight. We do have two games coming up tomorrow night, both at Model. We have Model Game 1 and Berea Game 2 at Model's Field, which is right next to the Eastern Lady Colonels over there, and if you know where that is. So we'll be in Richmond for a couple games tomorrow. The game on Friday with
Frederick Douglass?
Prestonsburg. Canceled. Yeah. So nothing on Friday. And then we added a game on Saturday, 1 o'clock with Frederick Douglass and 2:30 with Tate's Creek. Both those games played at Paris.
So let's go back to the Model Berea. Is this the first time you've actually done a doubleheader like that over there on the road?
During the week.
Right.
This was a normal game with Model. We're trying to find a date with Berea to make up the rain game from last week, I believe. And the only date we could find was Thursday. And instead of us driving after the game, loading up on a bus, which takes another probably 35, 40 minutes, right?
To get to
Berea and then play another one. We just asked Berea if they would play at Model. Model had to agree, and Berea had to agree to pay the cost of the officials at Model's Field. So everybody was okay with that, and, you know, Berea will be there ready to go. The game will go quicker. We'll get home earlier. So to me, it worked out nice. I'm happy for the folks at Berea and Model to be able to work together to get that done for us tomorrow.
Yeah, I kind of like that too. So let's talk about Saturday then. It's the Coach Noah Johnson Memorial Classic at Paris. So how'd that even come about as far as you all getting those two Lexington teams, Frederick Douglass and Tate's Creek, in on the schedule?
Well, the coach and I talked earlier on, and normally he has this tournament with Classic where a lot of the teams in it didn't have very good seasons last year. So we got invited because of that. And I think this year, when they started to bracket the teams, they did it mid-season, and Model was there, and they dropped out. So we're picking up the game from Model, which was Frederick Douglass, and we're already there. I'm thinking we'll see decent pitching to get us ready for Monday, which my thing is you got prep for Monday. It's not about tomorrow. It's not about Saturday. It's about Monday.
Of course.
So these are lead-up games, hopefully get us prepared for Monday night's contest at Lee County. So,
and that will be the district tournament. So let's kind of backtrack just a little bit as far as your team. On this slide, I guess, you traveled to Wolf County, lost that game 9-2, and then Nicholas County was here at home. That was kind of a surprise game as far as a 15-1 score. Talk a little bit about that one. I almost expected that one to be a little bit more competitive.
Well, I tell you, Nicholas County is, I talked to Mike Johnson a lot, and he's their head coach. This is his last season. He told me what he was trying to do this year, was just get as many wins as he could because he's not going to advance in his region. I think he's a much better team than what he thinks he is, but I do know the top of his district is really, or region is very tough. He'll even have a tough time making that out of his district. But he's got a really nice pitcher, which is his daughter. They always hit well. And she just really kept us off balance. She kept us off balance over there too, but we were able to get two or three runs, I think, on them and kept it close.
Yeah.
The first time they saw Dessa, she pitched a pretty good game and held their bats kind of quiet. This time, not so much. She didn't have her best stuff. They hit, the changeup wasn't working. Fastball stayed in the middle, and they can hit that pitch easily.
Right. So let's move on then. You followed that up a couple of days later, traveled on the road to McGoffin County, dropped that one 15-0 in three.
That one was disappointing because we beat them early in the season. Actually, it was, I think, 6-2 early in the season. They got a decent pitcher as well. But we started a different pitcher the first game, and they got two runs off her, and I put Des in with, in the first inning, 6 2/3 of no-hit ball against McGoffin. That was her kind of a breakout game. That game and about three or four others after that, she pitched really well. Then she lost her changeup a little bit, and then I was telling you last night, she got it back. She found what she was doing, and her release, she changed her release a little bit and slowed it down much better. And her changeup is really phenomenal when it's working with her fastball. But it's just the fact that at the back end of the schedule, every team that we've played has had a really good pitcher, including McGoffin County. And they can really hit the ball. So I don't look at it. The 15-0 part I didn't like because we didn't touch the ball. But our seniors were gone. It was a game where we were playing pretty much everybody. Desi Plavdic was the only senior that did not go on the trip. So we had her, but basically she was it. Wickline had got, I think, injured the Nicholas County game prior to that. So we were down five starters or six starters in that game. And I'm not blaming anything. It's just you're down five or six starters when our bench is shallow.
Sure.
And when we have to go deep into our bench, then it's usually ugly, which that game was the ugly game.
Right. And then you follow that up on the road at Hazard.
Yep.
Talk about that one a little bit.
Again, good pitching for Hazard. Again, I give credit where it is. We didn't hit. We played them close the first time. I think it was a two-run game the first time we played them. But, again, their pitcher just beat us. I thought we did okay. Made too many errors. It was the day after they came back from their trip. They were a little sluggish. We made more errors than normal, and we've been priding ourselves all year on better defense. And that's the part of the game where it has slid. And even like the McGoffin game and the Nicholas game before, we've made more errors than what we have been making. And like last night's game with Breathitt, we made six, maybe seven errors that I don't think our book was too hard on our players. I counted seven errors is what I had in my book, in my head. But I think they still had three earned runs of the bunch anyway. So, too many walks, a couple wild pitches, advancing runners for free. Those always put you in a bad spot.
Yeah, and even last night, really, with the exception of that first run that they made, mm-hmm. and that basically was a walk.
Walk.
You know, at that point, ended up getting over to third and then sacrificed to score that run. That was a justifiable run that they earned.
Then we threw one away.
Yeah, exactly. But then after that, I felt like things kind of trickled away and allowed Breathitt to score.
That game should have been a 2-1-3-1 game.
Agreed, yeah.
At best.
Yeah, it was pitcher's duo, no doubt.
It was. Pennington had 15 strikeouts of us. We had 10 strikeouts on them. But Pennington's been that way all season. She is probably the best pitcher in the region. Or if not, she's right there with the best. The difference maker would be is Mike Talby, their coach, he also tells me we're not hitting the ball very well at all. Now, 1-5, he's pretty good. Now, when he gets back to the back end of his order, he's not as strong. But it's the same team that beat Estill twice, same pitcher. They beat a lot of good teams early, and they slumped late. They had one of their best players got hurt about 3 weeks ago, had surgery last week on her ankle. She's out for the year. She's a senior, phenomenal player. Christina Butler played for Breathitt. And they really don't have a lot of strength in the middle of that order right now. So, the Pennington kid is legitimate. I haven't seen Perry Central's pitcher yet, but everybody tells me that she is really good as well. So, and we're talking about young kids. These kids are all pretty much sophomores. There's not any older older pitchers out there.
Right. And I think Pennington, her record 13-13, I believe, on the season, but with 2.00 ERA. Incredible to think that you're 13-13. You've lost 13 times, and your team couldn't produce enough runs.
The answer is we're not hitting well. Right.
And
but now that he's played a really tough schedule. I'm talking about Breathitt County, and he's faced some really good pitching. So you can say he's not hitting, but I'm thinking he's just not hitting really good pitching.
Yeah, right. So let's go back to your schedule then again. So you're at Model and Berea coming up on Friday. Obviously, you're getting close. You know, four more games here, both of those doubleheader games at that.
Yeah, we'll be lucky at Saturday end. But
Yeah, especially based on the weather. With that being said, though, what is it that you think potentially, you know, in your perspective, what do you think your girls need to do to kind of get back on that winning streak and get the bats even going?
Well, this I'll blame on myself. We had that little lull where a week and a half ago, I took off. I was working my day off on a Tuesday because I knew we had a really tough stretch going. And we wound up giving them Tuesday and Wednesday off. Had a game on Thursday. It got canceled. The other team called so we couldn't play, which I think was our senior night. Then we lost a game on Friday. And then we lost another one. And I'm thinking, okay, now we've got a week off without playing.
Sure.
And during that week, it went somewhere. And I think sometimes I give too much information. This is a critique I'll give myself. I throw too much at them and, when we're hitting, and I think, try this. Maybe I've tried too much in their heads. And sometimes you take a break and get out of your head. So there's a fine line. I don't know how Derek does it, but you can overcoach as well.
Overcoach, yes, definitely you can. You try to find the little things that will help, but sometimes you just too much information. That's why during the game I try to not say as much during the game, just because they already have enough going through their head. So
yeah, I tell them always, what you're doing in practice today, you probably will never repeat, and you need to, but habit has it one way, and when you get up in game, you can't think. You don't have time to think.
You do all your coaching in practice.
It has to happen in practice, and there has to be that break. And I don't know the kids, and it's, like I said, this would be my fault. Kids have a hard time to differentiating. He told me this in practice. It slows my bat down here. I'm not taking that good swing that I would take, and it's just sometimes analysis by paralysis is what they call it, right? So what you're working on in practice, you hope you can take to the game, but you can't think about it. You just got to go hit the best you can. See the ball, hit the ball. That's why I tell them during the game, practice, I'll tell them something different, but maybe I should tell them more hit the ball or see the ball, hit the ball.
Well, and you and I have talked, obviously, when you're taking off one day, that has an effect. 2 days, 3 days, it's almost like starting all over again, right? Yeah,
three's too many.
Yeah, it is too many, and that's unfortunate under those circumstances. I will say this, though, to mention one of your players from last night, Hannah Angel, not played a lot, one of your seniors, played in right field, did a nice job there. But her up at the plate, I was impressed. She was a little bit slow getting her bat around, but she hung in there and was fouling off pitch after pitch after pitch.
I think she fouled off 9 total pitches and 2 at bats.
Yeah, it's consistent.
Better
job
than about 7 starters.
Yeah, absolutely. you're exactly. And that's really why I'm bringing up her name again, the fact that she ended up getting that opportunity. She didn't get on base, but she kept fouling off. And I was like, obviously you're pulling for the whole team to get base hits and score runs. Hey, there was something special about her and those 2 at-bats or 3 at-bats.
That last at-bat, when she goes to full count, I'm thinking, get a walk and win this battle.
Yes.
Because she was just fighting off every pitch. And we're taking massive cuts at balls that we're getting nothing. And she's just trying to just fight them off.
Right.
And, you know, you don't have to hit it hard. You just got to center it up. One good lucky swing sometimes is just as good as a rip and a hack. You know, you just
right.
I liked her approach. Everything was like a 2-strike approach. Really, you just kind of keep it in play, but keep making her throw pitches. And I wish it worked out better for her, but it got your attention. It got my attention.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And I think it got the players on the bench's attention as well. So did her job.
Yeah, she did. And again, especially against a pitcher like Pennington, who was on sometimes 3 pitches, getting some of your regular starters out, and she's up there battling and battling and battling. Again, it was encouraging to see that. I hated just like you, that she wasn't able to at least get a walk, get a base hit or something. But
oh,
still,
I was so cheerful.
She hung in there.
Just to give her something positive out of what she did. It's hard to take, you know, wound up with two strikeouts, but two battled strikeouts. It wasn't like they were easy outs. I was proud of her after the game. I told her, that's some great at bats.
It was.
You gave me better at bats than a lot of the starters did.
Yeah.
Nessa Foster, I think she hit the first pitch three times. She did okay, and I think
Ella ended up
got a big double, the second time she grounded out, first time she struck out. So strikeout bug was getting everybody last night. Again, 15, that's a pretty good night.
Yeah, that definitely is. Again, I think it just goes back to being patient. If they're waiting for the pitch, not swinging at pitches out of strike zone, because they were chasing a lot last night.
I think that with Pennington, the thing with her is, and Mike told me this during the game even, I think he only threw five fastballs. So she was throwing all either curveballs, screwballs, drop balls. She wasn't throwing anything straight. And when you've got that much, and the rise ball was really good last night.
Yeah.
So whenever you've got a repertoire where you can throw five pitches at you, you can keep teams off balance. And she was six. This is your turn. When he does that number, he can't talk. But, you know, whenever you got that kind of repertoire of pitches, it's really hard to center it up. You got guys with five pitches. You got a winner, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. That's back to the girl that was battling you was talking about. It's just those small parts of the game. If you're sitting there having good at-bats, fouling them off, that's more pitches that the pitcher's throwing.
Yep.
So that might help you later on into the game. That's what the hard thing was, trying to get into these kids' heads at the middle school level, is like, yeah, you're fouling them off, but you're also trying to help us in later parts of the game. You're wearing that pitcher out. Baseball, I mean, I don't know. Do they have a pitch count in softball? Baseball might be a little different in that instance. But, like, if you get those kids higher up into the pitch count, or you're making them frustrated because they can't strike you out, you're fouling it off, that's going to help you in the long run. I mean.
Some of the kids that we face, and I just share this with you, Derek, it's just like some of these kids play travel ball, and they'll throw 250, 300 pitches in a day. And 125, 130 pitches is really an easy night. And they can come back the next night and do the same thing. There are kids who do wear down because they don't have the right mechanics. Mm-hmm. If you got the right mechanics, you probably throw three games on a given night.
Yep.
But, again, it's still, you know, if you have to throw 40 pitches in an inning because somebody extended in a bat, that is a really good inning to make them work that much harder. I know every inning that if we string out an inning long, we're usually affected by it. Those will, long you stand out there in that circle or on the mound, either one, it's a tougher inning.
It becomes a mental game at that point.
Yeah.
Well, even going back to the bottom of the seventh, that was really when Ella came up, got her double. Mm-hmm. She was actually eventually able to score. But at that point, the players were making some slight adjustments. Yeah, and at the same time, if anything, okay, now they're feeling that confidence, right? You know,
I mean, you know, Chloe broke up the no-hitter with the hit there in the sixth inning. And that kind of lifted a little bit of the weight off everybody. Then Ella had the really good at-bat where she just drove that ball to center, and then Dessa didn't miss hers. The line drive in front of the center fielder where Ella could score from second. And we just wanted that run across just to say, okay, we got one. You know, we got, you know, three hits, got a run. When go back and look at the book, you know, when you see four walks and six errors and they beat you 5-1, you can go back and look at this game. So if you play them again, guys, this game wasn't really a four-run game. Make plays, this is a one- or two-run game.
Yeah, especially you throw out the errors.
Yes.
Yeah, you throw that out, and obviously you want to get the hits and that, you know, you got to manufacture runs. But at the same time, you gave up a few too many runs as well.
But I will say, three hits is more than we've been getting. I know it doesn't sound like much, but we got three hits, and that's probably three times as much we've had in the last four games. So, again, we face some really good pitching. And I don't know how to say it any better. I give credit to the opponents, and they've beat us. But it's something we go hit off the machine the other day. First time we've been in the cage for almost a month and a half off the machine, and turned it way up. And we're beating the brakes out of the ball, but we didn't get any of the straight stuff against Brett that don't, so it didn't really matter.
Well, and your team is 13-13 mm-hmm. right now, but you've won more games this season than you have the last
two or three combined.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. So, I mean, at that point, they've done great. You know, I'd like to see some more wins that were right there, well, right? But at the same time, you potentially won a couple that, you know, maybe you wouldn't have necessarily.
They've crept back into some of the habits they had last year. And it's the errors. We've made like 10 or 12 errors in the last four games. We went that whole stretch of three or four games in a row. We had no errors.
Right.
This is a different team in the last five, six games defensively. Forget about the offense. You know, obviously we don't score runs, can't win. But I'd rather lower the totals.
Sure.
And make it less work on the pitcher. Better defense makes it for a better game, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, and you don't feel like you're behind the eight ball and you've got to make something up and make something happen.
You've got to score six.
You're keeping pace, right?
Yeah. I thought at the beginning of the season, we've got to score 8 or 10 runs to be in the game. That's changed now. I think our pitching has got a little bit better. I think if we can score five or six or seven runs and have the good pitching and defense, we can still win those games. So we still got to score 5 or 6 runs, though.
Right. And, again, hopefully under the circumstances, you're able to get back on track Friday and Saturday.
Again, the regular season is the regular season. Just prepare for Monday. Hopefully we can get everything lined out for Monday.
And Monday, a 7:30 start. Well, actually, be 30 minutes after the first game, which is Owsley and
7 o'clock is what's on the sheet.
Who exactly? It could be sooner, earlier. It could be a tad bit later. But regardless, it's still at roughly a 7 o'clock start.
Yeah, Estill and Owsley will play at 5:30. And I tell you, Owsley's, you know, I had two worries going into the Get the two seed this year. I had two concerns. Owsley can really hit, got a decent pitcher. Lee can really pitch, and it got a few good hitters. And so which of those two do you really want? And I'm not sure there was a better team to draw. Lee and Owsley are both pretty good. I'm not sure. This is a year where I'm not saying Esther's going to blow out Owsley, because Owsley has shown me they can hit, and I don't care who's pitching, they hit the ball. So, you know, Estill will probably show up in the end of the game, getting the easy win. But don't be surprised if Owsley throws something at him.
Yeah, agreed. Again, that's Monday.
Monday.
At
Happy Top Park.
Yep, Happy Top Park in Beattyville. So that's the first round of the district, and the championship game would be on Tuesday. 6 o'clock, I believe, is what that
six,
one
I
is.
Believe.
Yeah, I think Tuesday's the championship 6 o'clock start.
Yeah, and so we will step away for a couple breaks here and come back with baseball and talk about their district matchups here after the break.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Fowl County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Count on Clark Regional Medical Center when every minute matters. Emergency strike, day or night. So we're here when you need us most, providing emergency care close to home, including the higher levels of heart care found in an accredited chest pain center. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Clark Regional Medical Center, from the routine to the unforeseen. Count on us. Check our average ER wait time at clarkregional.org.
Since opening in 1972, Citizens Guarantee Bank has been there to help our customers enhance their lives and achieve their dreams. With 7 locations across central and eastern Kentucky today, we are celebrating 50 years of being there for the communities we call home. Citizens Guarantee Bank is now CG Bank. New name, same commitment to being there for our neighbors. CG Bank, we've been there for that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest, and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Ridgeville. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
Welcome back here to PCSN Live. Again, you do not want to sit in any of these conversations we're having while we're off the air. Hopefully always.
It's always clean. Don't get us wrong. Yeah, no. It's always clean.
But we're probably talking about somebody.
Yeah.
Or something.
It within the community. Within, yeah, that we don't necessarily agree with whatever's happening.
It's our venting moment.
But I will say this, though. I would say it publicly. I don't think there's anything that we would say that wouldn't be publicly.
We wouldn't want to get Ethan any hot water, though.
No, of course not. No. But at the same time, I mean, we'd still say it if we were in a different circles.
Definitely,
or
if you ask
whatever
us,
else.
We would say it.
Yeah, 100%. Both of us would. That's a fact. So let's switch over to the Powell County Pirates baseball team. They are 16-14 on the season, and let's see. The last time we had them, well, I'm gonna go back a couple of games. They ended up defeating back on May the 2nd. So they defeated Perry Central for a nice win. Lost a close one to Hazard 4-3. I'm sure they'd like to have another chance at that one. Lost to Breath at 3-2. Lost to North Bullitt 9-7. Then they ended up defeating Magoffin County 12-2 in six innings. And then lost last night to East Jessamine 5-4. So their losses have been so close where they had their opportunities and unfortunately didn't come up with win. They've got two games left on their regular season schedule. GRC on the 11th, and then they have at Letcher County on the 12th. And Derek kind of has some interesting statistics he kind of showed me earlier as far as the Pirates, as far as those close games like that. You want to go on and share some of that information that you assembled?
Yeah, I was just looking at the schedule and the scores throughout the year, and I just noticed that within 3 runs, they're 3-10 on the year, and within 1 run, we're 1-5. I mean, when you get to region and district time, you're gonna have those close games. Can they flip that switch and prove that they can win those games? Because they haven't proved it so far this year.
See, that would be go back like to the metrics you're talking about of baseball. How many close wins? I was going to say after you read that, what you just read, Ken, was. That's a lot of close games. You could talk about a record of 16-13, or you could talk about a record of 24-8.
Yeah, sure. Easily.
They're that close.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, wonder how many games they've had that they might have had to lead in the seventh inning. I think there's 3 or 4 I can think of off the top of my head.
Yeah.
And lost, right?
Yeah, Montgomery County, they had the lead.
True.
They had the lead last night. I was watching on Game Changer. And I believe there's 2 more that they've had the lead within the seventh inning and just lost it.
And we're not knocking. We're just giving you.
Facts. You know, yeah, statistical facts at that. And that's unfortunate for this team as well. But they've had some lulls where they've not been able to manufacture runs themselves. And you might have a pitcher who's on the mound, you know, goes 5 innings, let's say, you know, 1 or 2 runs that come across, and then the Pirates unable to manufacture those runs with runners in scoring position. And that's happened far too many times. You'll have runners, bases even loaded, can't get a run across. You'll have somebody at second or third, can't get them across with just one out. And it's those situations that they've not been able to capitalize that have been costly for them in the long run.
Yeah, and I will say this on the flip side of what we're talking about is, like the Lady Pirates, they've had a really tough run here as of late. That's a tough schedule. Yeah. Even, and I know Perry's, quote, down for Perry, which doesn't hardly ever happen. But if they're down, you better catch up with them because it probably won't be too long. But again, the stretch they've been on, the boys I'm talking about, I mean, we're facing some aces, I would think. In that stretch, we've probably thrown some of our aces, and our pitching is probably not where it was midseason because we've had a couple injuries, and we're two of our better pitchers down, which is not a good thing going into tournament time. We were set up pretty good before the injuries. We don't really match up with that, like the Hazards, with the two shutdown guys that they can throw. You got Estes County with a couple guys that are shutdown guys that can throw. You know, Breathitt's got really one. I think Knott's got one. When you look at the big picture of the regional tournament, Letcher's got a couple guys they can throw at you. So the regional tournament is all about, and I know I'm skipping over the district, but that's kind of what has been happening the last 10 years. But, man, it's you got to have two or three guys going to regional tournament play. Because is it set up this way, Derek? Is it set up? Is it 3 days in a row they're playing baseball?
In the region?
In the region.
I think that there's – in the boys, I think they're splitting, though. I think some of the games are like Perry and some are at Hazard.
Yes, the first round.
To where, correct, yeah, the first round of that. But I don't know if it's – well, it would be consecutive days played because even though you're not – well, no, it wouldn't be. You're not going to play two nights under – You're not going to play two nights in a row.
Are they playing Memorial Day on the split schedule?
I'm going to have to go back and actually look as far as like the...
I know they're on the webpage. On the WSKV webpage, Ethan,
yeah,
I
that's what I was ready to pull up.
So check it out on there, but while Ken's pulling it up here.
I know the last year that we got the host, it was my senior year, and I believe that it was Monday, Wednesday, Thursday was the championship. But I know it's changed a lot since 2015.
The policy board, and I'm not going to knock them, but they make a whole lot of decisions that don't have a lot of, or I don't think has a lot of softball input or media input, has more baseball input, but it's also about who the host is because the host can set it up to where it fits them the best. Mm-hmm. And you hope that doesn't really happen, but I know in the district with Hazard Perry District, softball kind of got put on the back burner because baseball wanted to play back-to-back days. Who's that help, Derek?
The host team.
Which is Hazard, right?
Yeah. Well, at this point, so they do play three in a row.
I thought so.
Yeah, it's May the 22nd, 23rd, and 24th. And again, those games are Perry Central and Hazard.
Now, again, I'll lay this out there. That only benefits, in my opinion, one team.
Well, it's the team, obviously, that has the depth.
The most pitches.
Right? Yeah.
Which will probably be Hazard.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right? Yeah, because at that point, if you don't have everybody lined out, right, with enough rest to be able to start over again.
Here's the problem with the region. I know we're skipping a lot of games here, but with baseball, which you are limited to pitches, you're limited to all the days off and all that stuff is going to play here. If you have three guys, you can win the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
But all a team has to have is one guy to beat you in the first game.
True.
So you got to be ready to go with your ace game one to get to game two. And if you use your ace in game one, you don't have him in game two in a three-day event. And you're not getting him back for game three.
Yeah. Right.
Because you can think about if – say Hazard wins their district, they may draw the loser of Pal Estel. I mean, that's
a tough game for them.
Tough game. Yeah.
And that's back to 2014. Hazard was probably the best team in the region. I was sophomore, I'm sorry. So 2013, the year after we won the state tournament. Hazard's probably the best team in the region, but we lost the district. We drew them in the first round. We upset them in the first round. And then
listen, there are no bad teams who win – to get to the regional tournament. There's no bad teams here. I mean, I maybe could think of maybe one team that might not be as favored as the rest. There's not that many down teams.
Consistently with what you're used to within the region. Yes.
Yeah. And I think, you know, Estwell Powell, you know, Powell was fortunate to get the one seed, which really doesn't matter in this district. It's about who wins the district tournament game, not who wins the coin flip like Pal did.
Yeah, right.
I'm glad they won the coin flip, though, but again,
is it that two sports in a row, didn't they have to do it in basketball?
Yeah, yes. Sure did.
Pal won
both
coin flips. It's 50-50, but we win them both. Doug Brewer's got that
I'd like to know if they chose heads or tails and what the actual result was.
I don't know.
Who picked? I don't even know.
I just know they got the one seed and they had to win the coin flip to get it. But I just know this. The teams that are out there that can beat you in game one, you've got to be ready to throw your best pitcher or have him ready to go. Hopefully, if you can throw it off a game, it's great. But to play in the second game, you got to win game one.
Yeah, and you better be prepared, right? Not only with your lineup as far as your pitching rotation, you better make sure that everybody is healthy within that rotation because, like, obviously even last night, the Pirates didn't necessarily have anybody that was available. Had to take the catcher, Luke Hood, put him on the mound.
But Luke does a good job.
I'm not saying he does it, but yeah. I'm saying at that point, like, if you're going that deep to somebody who doesn't normally pitch for you and you're pulling them from behind the plate to get on the mound, and obviously injuries and things like that and pitch count and all that's kind of been a factor. But still, that's a situation, though, if you're not careful, you potentially run into within the region if you don't set yourself up in the right order.
Well, you know these guys as much as anybody. I mean, how many deep can we go right now as far as the varsity goes?
Pitching-wise, you got Kyle. And it depends on Lacey's health. It's up in the air. Then you got you got Cam that can come in and throw. But really, I mean, after the first two, like, that's only starters that you have.
Hagenauer did a really good job last year, but he's not been there. Yeah. He's been injured.
No, and that to me, he is the difference maker in many respects. Yes, mm-hmm. That they needed him on the mound this year, and it's unfortunate that we didn't get to see him.
Then you would have Nickel, Hagenauer, Dickin, whatever your order was to be.
Right, yes.
That's the three shutdown or could be shut down guys to get you to where you want to go,
right,
which is the regional championship game.
Yeah, and Hagenauer being one of those seniors, and that's unfortunate. Again, but we've seen that happen in other sports as well with
injuries
players.
Happen. It's part of the game.
It's unfortunate.
You just hate that you have this good group ahead of you that, okay, here's what we got. All it takes is one guy going down and upsets the whole apple cart.
Yeah.
But, again, last year, Powell County found a way to get to the championship game, and probably I'll have to look back historically and see if anybody's ever done what Falcone did. What was it, four hits?
Four hits, yeah, in three games.
you
get to the champ, how does that happen?
You lose the championship game.
Right.
But you play three games, you only get four hits. That's pretty remarkable. I don't know. I'd say it's probably never been done before.
Well, that's where it goes back, though. You give up a walk, a stolen base, right, a passed ball. Now you've got a guy on third, and all of a sudden you just hit one. A fielder's choice, right? And all of a sudden, boom, there's one run. Just based on a walk just coming across, you know.
Just don't walk people. It's just...
It's costly. Gosh, it's
75% of leadoff walks, even in Major League Baseball, I think, score.
I think they're going to have to hit a little bit better this year to be able to have the same run that they had.
Like, agreed.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Because I feel like I was looking at the 14th region as a whole. I mean, there might be seven schools that could win the region.
Yeah.
Wide open.
Yeah. I mean, it's more open than I felt like it has been in a long time.
I feel the same way about the girls, though.
Well, I think the girls is I want to say wide open within five schools. And I'm not saying we can't. We got to prove it first. I'm saying, Perry has been the one that's led the way the entire way. It always goes through Estill. I think Brett has got a phenomenal young pitcher. Letcher, nobody has seen them a lot, and they're pretty dang good. They played Perry close twice, I believe, and Hazard is a sleeper. So, and Leslie County has got a nice young pitcher too. So, even Leslie I didn't mention Wolf County, didn't I?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm telling you, the Wolf, Jackson City, Breathitt's always tough, and this year Leslie, Hazard, Perry, somebody's got to get knocked off there. And for us, I think all three teams below Estill are as good as they've been as far as competitively. It's very competitive this year. I at this point, you probably have to say Perry's probably the favorite, and I haven't seen him play. I'm just going by numbers.
Yeah, and even as far as going back to the boys' region, you've got Letcher that's sitting on top. That is a little bit above everybody else, but nobody's necessarily seen a whole lot of them in that regard, so therefore, truly, how strong are they, right? Because you know that with them, and obviously, Brian Dean is back there, coaching them again. He's got them where you would expect him to have them, right? He's an excellent coach, former coach here in Powell County. At that point, though, they're one of those teams that if you're not careful, okay, maybe they're the ones, but then when you look below them, whether it's Hazard, Perry Central, Estill, Powell, again, there are other teams that are, Wolf even, there are other teams that can come in and
Ace against Ace. Compete. I don't think there's two runs between the first five teams that boys region. I really don't. I think, you know, like I said, Hazard's got two really good pitchers going 1-2. Letcher's got just a nice team balance with their pitching. Breathitt's got a really good pitcher. Knott's got a really good pitcher if they can get out of their district. And then Powell and Estill. I mean, I think those are the teams in baseball that, you know, this is just an anomaly of the year with Perry being as weak as they are.
I mean, you would have to say Hazard's the favorite until somebody beats him.
Yes. I mean,
yeah.
It's like Estill County. I mean, I think it's like in softball. And Estill County's got to be knocked off. I mean, it's even when we do preseason, I'm like, okay, y'all don't forget about Estill County because they're always going to rebuild and replace. But, yeah, I'm just, you know, like in softball, though, I'm seeing a lot of these teams now are just got really good pitching. And that's something different what we've seen. I haven't seen this kind of pitching in softball in ever. But this many teams with really quality pitchers. And in baseball, you know, I say this all the time. I don't think the 14th is as good as a lot of the teams west of us. But in itself, it's a dang good region. You know, we're going to struggle. Every win is going to struggle when we get out of this region. But while we're in it, let's see if we can win the thing because it's competitive.
It is competitive. I agree with that. I think everybody is very similar in a lot of ways, right? And then even going back as far as the girls pitching, most of the time, though, just like with you and with some of the other teams, you have that one pitcher who's doing the bulk of your pitching all season long. It's not like most teams will go 2 and 3 or even 4 deep.
Well, there's two teams in softball, Wolf and Estill, who go 2. Everybody else, if we're going 2, we're in trouble.
And there's no pitch count in softball, count. Yeah, you know.
If you look at some numbers on softball pitching, you're seeing over 2,000 pitches thrown by most everyone who pitches a lot. That's a lot of pitches in a season.
Yeah, that it is. And then for the boys, again, it goes back to what's your rotation, who's healthy, who are you facing, what does that matchup look like? And just like with any other sport, you have to cut down on your errors and you have to be able to manufacture runs.
What wins? Defense and pitching.
Defense, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's you're going to see a game or two in the regional tournament, 2-1, 3-2. 1-0.
And we're going to have to prove that we can win those games because we haven't this year.
That's right. That's where you're coming in with your numbers.
I mean, if you want to reflect back on the season, think of those games that we've lost 3-4, 3-4, 2-3, 7-9. I mean, that's going to happen in the region tournament. You got to find a way to flip the script and find a way to win those games.
Again, this team, and I think Frank does a good job and his coaching staff, but they have probably underperformed from their expectations. And I'm not knocking them. I'm just, I think they may have underperformed slightly. Their year is next year to really be good. But I think they're pretty good this year, but I think they may have underperformed just a touch.
I believe he would say the same thing, too.
Oh, I agree. He would say, I'm not telling anything.
I mean, you want to win every baseball game. I mean, Powell kind of usually has a pretty good history of baseball.
Historically, though, and I've said this on the air a lot, you know, when I played for Charles Childers and kind of learned a lot from him. And his theory was, we're not going to have a winning season. We're going to be a couple games under 500 normally, but we're going to be able to compete in the region. And, you know, for years, we didn't go east to play. We went west to play because it's quicker. I mean, it's easier to get Bourbon and Paris and Harrison. Easier to get those places than it was then going east.
Right.
So we played those schedules. We went to Fayette, and we went to Winchester. It only took us an hour. Anywhere east of us, it takes over an hour to get to those places. So now, if you look at the teams that we've played, even this year, we're still playing a similar schedule than that. So we've always come up with a schedule, to me, that's going to be like, at best you're going to do is maybe like 5-6 games over 500. And that's, to me, that's the kind of schedule Powell County needs every year. It's something that's going to really get you to compete, to get to 20-plus wins. And if you do get there, it should be really good tournament time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even going back to as far as, like, underperforming, obviously, individually, There are players who probably haven't performed the way that they would like, whether it's offensively, defensively, you know, and you have lapses, right, where you kind of, whether it's, you know, professionally or otherwise, you're in a batting slump or whatever else. You got to find a way to dig yourself out of that. And hopefully the Pirates, again, closing out the season, can get over this hump and get everybody collectively hitting it, you know, hitting the ball and scoring runs. That, to me, is, again, probably been their biggest downfall. It's not so much the errors. It's just not being able to manufacture some of those runs, and especially in those close games.
I think there's one intangible we really haven't talked a lot about at all, and that is this, and it's chemistry.
Sure.
And I think, like, early on in the season for the girls, man, the chemistry is just fantastic. Since a little bit of the slide here, we have our chemistry hasn't been as solid. With baseball, I know they've been fighting it all year, and they have some chemistry issues. That erodes a team quicker than anything. And if they can get over that hump, I think they'll be right there. Same thing, if we get our swag back. I mean, it's just chemistry. And you don't have to love each other all the time, just while you're between the lines.
Exactly, and collectively, you know, realizing we're on this team for a purpose. I don't have to like you, right? But when we get on the field,
I gotta love you.
That's exactly right. Yeah, because we have a common goal, right? And I want us collectively to get there.
That's always the tough part in coaching is you want your team to gel. Mm-hmm. It's more fun to coach when the team likes each other, right?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, that's a benefit of like this freshman group that's up there right now. They've played travel ball together, so they play together, they like each other, so it makes it really, I mean, easy to coach them because they all are likable kids, they like each other. And I think that was a lot of a benefit to any team is if you have the kids that play together all summer that likes each other, makes the team morale a lot better, makes the chemistry a lot better.
Travel ball, your family. Mm-hmm. Dude, I mean, you're out there
every weekend.
Yeah, and it's like.
Oh, yeah, and you're spending the night in hotels and eating together. And, yeah, you're
you get closer living, with those travel teams than probably you ever get with a regular high school team. But it's, again, you still want the chemistry to be there. And, again, I think this team is potentially the best team in the region. They just got to get over it.
Talent-wise, from top to bottom, I mean, you have, I mean, an eighth grader starting for varsity. That's just as talented as anybody in the region, honestly. I mean,
hey, I've said this all my life.
You've got one as well on your team.
I think she's one of the better players in the region. I think she's top in this. Anybody would want to have these two eighth graders we're talking about. It's not how old you are. It's how good you are. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you're that good, if you can compete when you're in the eighth grade, more power to you. Very rarely does it happen on the boys' side. Where you're that talented, you can step into a varsity spot. You've got to be pretty dang good, I think we're seeing that right now.
Well, and I think one of the downfalls, and you and I have talked about this time and time again as well, but I'm not so sure that our players have the drive and the focus with any given sport to stay with it. Yeah, exactly. Right, to stay with it, and even during the off season. I'm not saying you don't have players that are doing travel ball, and obviously everybody can't afford that. But I think on one hand, though, you get there, we're Powell County, I'm here to enjoy myself, right? We're going to win some games, lose some games, whatever else. But I don't think we necessarily have that internal drive and determination. I'm going out, I'm winning the district, I'm winning the region, I'm winning the state, and have that mindset that we're going to do whatever it takes day in and day out. I'm going to be focused on the field, I'm going to cut down on my errors, and we're going to go out and we're going to have that mindset to be a champion. And I think you have to have, I get you have to have talent and all that stuff, but at the same time, I think we have just that matter of fact kind of mentality. Yeah, I want to win, but if I don't win, it doesn't affect you. If I lost, if we're playing, I don't care if we're playing darts, and I lose, well, I'm mad at myself because I could have performed better, right? But what can I do the next time we're going to compete? Well, I'm going to try harder, and even if that means I'm going home and I'm practicing, right, in order to do that, again, to get yourself in a better position. But I think we just go, we play the game, we expect to win. It's no different in pick any sport. You're expected to win district because look where we are, right? You're expected to get to the region. At that point, can we win or not? You don't expect to, so therefore there's no pressure without having that mindset of, I want to win.
Hey, listen.
I don't think we want to win as much as they talk about it.
Well,
they don't talk about it. Therein lies part of the problem, too.
Mindset, I think, is what we've not really said it. What's your goal? I mean, we don't say our goal is win regional time. We say it's win district and almost be satisfied. winning district is a big deal.
Of course it is.
Winning region is a bigger
deal. Next level.
Yeah. But we're having these conversations, and if you listen to them, and I'm not being prejudiced for my team or another, but I will say this, there's more conversation about baseball being there than there is ever softball being there.
Of course, sure.
And I'm not knocking our program, I'm not saying that at all, but historically, baseball is there. And if you're not there, it's sometimes jobs are on the line in baseball. It's just that's a tough job to have. We've been competitive there for the first, 10 years I coached softball. We always thought we were the top four team every year in the region. The last 6 or 7 years, it's been a little bit different than that. We're just fighting to make it. But, you got the expectation for these boys, and I'm not cutting them any slack, is to win. That is the expectation. And I think the public, the community here, I know, knows about these guys.
Yeah, you've heard the hype for how many years now?
Years. So
we're not talking about just the current coach.
No. We're talking about this has come from their travel coaches up all the way through the middle school level.
Yeah.
Playing at the middle school, then going to the high school level. These kids we've got, two or three groups of travel kids, right?
Yep.
This isn't one group. This is some special kids that we've got. And you just worry about a little bit sometimes of the freshmen, how talented they are, yet not seeing much playing time. Where does it get you next year? Because they're going to be behind a lot of the shadows again next year.
Yeah, if you're not careful.
So you've got to get better. I mean,
but how are you getting better, right? I'm just saying, whether it's travel ball or you're going outside and you're hitting off a tee or I don't care what training, whatever it is. Again, if you want to become a starter, you better find a way to improve your skill set and come back next season and prove something to the coaches that, hey, put me in, coach, because I deserve to be in there.
I just wish it was unlimited funds. I really do, because there is no way. I know Frank talked about this preseason. He wanted to try to do the double.
The JV and varsity.
Yes.
And even freshman, for that matter.
You know, with bus shortages and it's just so hard. It's so expensive to do it. But, man, what would we have benefited for that group to be able to do that for a couple of years? And you don't have to worry about sitting the bench or starting. You're playing every day.
That's what I'm watching right now on Game Changer, sitting my phone over here to the side. The JV team's actually playing right now. So all those kids that's in that group, that freshman, sophomore group, is getting that time. They're getting their own game.
And they need it.
They benefit from that.
Yeah.
Because if they're that special, they got to play.
Because you're seeing, like, Kane Knox right now is playing center field. He wouldn't get that opportunity at the varsity level, so you're getting to see him in a different area.
But it's good that he's playing a different position, in my opinion. Because
absolutely.
He's got a logjam there at third base. L.W. Napier is probably one of the better third basemen I've seen in a while playing over there. So I'm telling you, you've got some kids out there that aren't giving up their spot next year. So,
and you probably have your starting catcher next year right now is getting reps in, Drew Miller, behind the plate right now. And if he didn't have those JV games, he's only JV only games, he wouldn't get them reps in.
Yeah, they're just doing nothing.
And I don't want to say you wasted the season, but kind of, because now at this point, though, let's say the kid that's coming up from the middle school who played every game, potentially he's going to pass that kid up, right? Mm-hmm. Because all of a sudden I'm a little bit more fresher because I played more games and had that experience.
I'm a little bit prejudiced on this, but myself and Coach Combs, we did this for, I think, a season or two. And man, the kids I got to coach at the JV level and the kids he had at the varsity level, I'm telling you, they could have played each other. And it might be a 2-1, 3-2 game. They were we had 18 deep probably. I mean, they were really good. But those kids so benefited from playing a full season of JV schedule.
Right.
I mean, it's just playing. You can't replicate playing the game.
No.
And practice is not exactly. Practice only gets you so far.
I mean, it's just you got to get reps in, and playing's the best way to do it. That's why, you know, when I put a bunch of games on my schedule, it's reps. You know, I know people, I'm tired. We played 40. We didn't play 40, but, you know, we tried to play 35, 36, and get as many games as we can, learn as much as we can, get as good as we possibly can. That's how you grow as a player. I mean, it's just, you got to play.
Yeah, and even some of these games that we've had, where the varsity will get in a game, and all of a sudden JV, depending on who it is you're playing, what their travel time is, you may or may not even have a JV game. So therefore, you're thinking there's going to be a JV game we're going to play, and all of a sudden, like, nope, boys, sorry.
Looking back this year, and it's something that, I don't know, it's a district we've got to look at or something, but and you do it too, I think, with baseball. I don't know if y'all try to play two games an hour or what y'all do, but.
Yeah, we try to.
With the buses, as late as we leave, and the start times where they are, just not getting two games in.
Right.
I mean, yeah.
And that's the problem that I have at the middle school level is, like, I don't have the opportunity to send my seventh grade team to play somewhere. So, like,
right.
There might be 2 weeks that some of them kids might not even get to
get in a bat.
Yeah. And if we do have the game, they might get to play one or two innings. I mean, that's hard for development right there at that level. So that's something that I battle with every year is trying to.
Well, that's what we
find
have
that
to
balance,
somewhere
right?
Where find a way to be able to address that. And whether even if you have two teams at the middle school competing, both middle school teams compete, maybe play each other. I mean, I don't know something, but we got to get more kids playing all the time to get the reps up.
In order to compete at that regional and state level.
Yes, that's just my
opinion. Have to. Now, pick any sport. To me, it doesn't matter with the exception of football because that's about the only one that you're not going to necessarily have that.
This is a different conversation. I'll do it again. We're going to take a break here. We're going to take a double break.
There
come
you go.
Back. We'll probably do some extended time tonight, so bear with us here on PCSN Live.
Trust the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital, when an emergency strikes. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is a level 4 trauma center where you can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. You can feel safe to come to the hospital campus. Following CDC guidelines, our providers and care teams are doing everything possible to ensure your safety and well-being. Choose the emergency department at Mercy Health, Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvine.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more, remember your Ace Hardware right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Your Powell County Pirates sports broadcast is brought to you by a partnership between your Papa John's in Stanton and Legacy Liquor, Wine, and Spirits located in the Stanton Crossroads Center and on Main Street in Clay City. Order delivery or takeout now from Papa John's in Stanton, 606-663-7272. Wings, pizza, papadillas, Papa Bites, cinnamon pull-aparts, a giant chocolate chip cookie, and so much more. Order now, 606-663-7272. Legacy Liquor, Wine, and Spirits would like to remind you to leave a strong legacy. Support local sports, drink responsibly, and never drink and drive.
At Wells Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. One such opportunity is the funeral or memorial service. Such a loving event celebrates the choices they made, the relationship you shared, and honors the memory of your loved one. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event. Contact us today to discuss the possibilities. Call 606 763-9480 or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
Welcome back. I got to take a break for myself sometime. I get too many conversations going in my head, and I want to go so many different things to fix. But
I will say this, though. The Tim White Show will be on right after we're
shortly.
Finished. Yes. So we apologize to those Tim White listeners.
Just listen to Dave, Ken, and Derek. You got something you want to share with us?
Yeah, go ahead, Derek.
I just wanted to give a shout-out to my middle school baseball team. They won their first conference tournament game since probably the early 2010s. Actually, I believe probably whenever I was in middle school was the last time that they won a conference in the Bluegrass Conference, which I'll give some context to that. They have not been in the conference this whole time since then, I don't believe. But it's still a big deal to win a game within that tournament with all these teams that we play with, the Frankfurts, the
Central Western Kentucky,
yeah,
right?
These big schools. So, like, I told them, I know we had an up-and-down season, but I thought that was a, looking back on the season, that was a great accomplishment that we achieved because we had just hadn't done it in a long time. So
let me ask you this, where we even talked earlier as far as the region, obviously you went a little bit more west, mm-hmm. right, with the way that is. Do you think that benefits your players in the long run by playing those teams?
I think so, because a lot of the teams around here, they might not have a middle school team. So playing, going that way, we're seeing a lot better competition from the middle school perspective. We're seeing a lot of good competition. We're playing these big schools. These kids learn that they can play with these Lexington schools. They can play with these Scott County teams. So when they go that way toward Lexington stuff,
easier.
It should be. I mean, it's not, but like they think that it is. So
yeah, and that the mindset is a big part of it.
We've had that conversation a lot here. Where I had the fortune to go to watch my family play at Frederick Douglass, mm-hmm. and the talent level is so different in Fayette County than it is here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm not knocking our talent level, but you go there, you can see 4 or 5 D1 guys on the same team on a lot of places. So the depth of players, if you win that district or region, any of those districts in Fayette, Scott, that's a challenge just to get out.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And you got Madison Central's in there. We're talking about some of the better programs in the state of Kentucky's in those regions. And I'm telling you, and that's what you're having to play in Bluegrass Conference.
Mm-hmm.
So people got to understand that's some of the most talented baseball in the state is amid that conference that you're playing in. So,
and I still try to mix in some of the 14th region like we play.
I think you have to.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, especially Estill. When it comes down to the district, Lee and Owsley, they don't really have a middle school program. So you play Estill. I almost got a game with Hazard, so that would have been a good test just to see where we're at with them within the middle school level. It didn't work out. But, yeah, I've tried to mix in those 14th regions because those are the kids they are going to be playing at their high school level. But, again, playing these teams that we do, it really pushes us. And just to see how we compete against these bigger and more populated schools.
We just, baseball-wise, we just got to find a balance of how to keep these kids playing when they're behind players that are either a notch better or at least equal to, and it slows your playing time down when you get there. I mean, if you get to the varsity level as a freshman, you're likely not going to play.
Yeah.
I mean, so you got to be mentally tough kids to be able to sit for a while that's always been playing.
Yeah. And I get questioned a lot. Why do you want to be in the Bluegrass Conference? Why do you want to go play all these teams and get beat or not have a good of a chance as winning? I mean, it makes us better in the long run. Yeah, we'll take some lumps and losses, but it's making these kids better. We can go schedule some of these teams and win 10-0, but how much, do we actually get out of it, you know? I mean, I'm trying to develop kids to go to the high school and help Frank win our 14th region. Can I do that beating teams 10-0 or playing competitive teams, playing these teams, learning from them?
I mean, there's a balance, I would think.
Sure.
As long as you're not getting
daily. I
understand. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I think if you got a talented group of players, mm-hmm. I wish you could pick your years you're in the conference. I guess you can anyway, but
you can, yeah.
If you got to know you got a talented group, mm-hmm. go play and get those kids some competition.
Yep.
You're not even guaranteed some of the teams you're playing this year will make it for that game, mm-hmm. without canceling. So
There's definitely
if you're here's my perspective. What you just said. You're teaching kids to play baseball and working on fundamentals to get them to a point, not based on a win loss record.
Yep,
as it should be.
As I feel it should be.
Well, me too.
So there's a different viewpoint. Mm-hmm. Some people want you to win 15 games and go 15-4, right? Well, you can do that. Listen, Mike Johnson, I said about talking about him earlier, Nicholas County. He said, Dave, he said, here's my where I am. I'm going to schedule 30-some games. It's my last year. We're going to get our break speed off when we play in our district or first-round district. We're going to get mercy ruled. Why not go out and win 25?
Sure.
So he scheduled this year the weakest schedule I've ever seen Mike schedule to try to win 20 games. Not because he's going to be competitive at district time, just to say I won 20-some games. Now, is that the way you – I mean, I get what he's doing, mm-hmm. but what are you getting for that?
At the middle school level, I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, it's...
At the middle school level, I mean, I try to get games in when I can at that level. It's hard to find teams that yes. want to play in, stuff like that. But I think if I had to pick something that I would be better at, it would be like picking and choosing who I schedule out of conference based on what I have returning. Like, I'm a very competitive person. I want to beat the best. You want to play the best and all that. But I need to be a little bit more aware, I guess, of who I'm scheduling. So, like, you want to win games because it makes the kids want to be out there. If you're losing every game, it makes the season feel a lot longer than it needs to be. But
well, again, if you're this is the way I feel this is truth. If you teach fundamentals and you harp on them every single day, and you've got the fundamentals, eventually you're going to win.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm all about teach. Man, if you leave them off at Frank's doorstep and they're ready to play, you did your job 100% well. If we get kids coming up and we have to reteach everything that we're doing, we didn't do a good job teaching. I don't care what your record is. Oh, yeah. You could go 35-2, and we got to reteach everything. What did we gain? I like your approach, what you're saying, and it is hard to do that.
Mm-hmm.
It is hard. Especially if you're competitive, because you do want to win. And it's just, to me, it's middle school is not just about winning.
Oh, yeah.
It's about teaching.
Plus finding that balance, right?
There is a balance.
Like you said, you want to find that balance between we want to win enough games, but I want to develop players. You don't want to lose too many, because at that point, who wants to be on a winning or losing team, right? And at that point, if I'm on a losing team, well, now who's coming back next year, because they're thinking – well, it's kind of the same team, and if we didn't win any games, why don't we be on a losing team, right? So therefore, you have kids, especially at the middle school, start to drop out because at that point, they don't want to be on a losing team. They want to win.
Now you're talking about the enigma of what every coach goes through when you're sitting down to write your schedule out on how, when, who you want to play. Do you want who was it several years ago said, I want 10 that I can win, 10 that I'm going to lose, and 10 I got a chance. Dave Fraley, I guess, told me that, right?
Yeah.
10. Got 10 I'm going to lose, 10 I can win.
50-50 on the other
50-50s. 10. 50-50s. That's hard to schedule because if you're a good team, nobody wants to play you. If you're a bad team, everybody wants to play you. And in some years, just nobody wants to play you anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just...
whether it's travel or otherwise.
That doesn't matter. It's hard to schedule some teams because if you've had any kind of reputation at all for being any good, they don't want to schedule you. Mm-hmm. And then some teams, they call you. Listen, we won 4 games last year. My email was blown up on how many people want to play us this year. I'm thinking, hello, when you win 4, everybody wants to play you.
I get that,
if I can
right?
turn around and win 20, I can't get those same schools to call me.
And they wouldn't.
No.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just, that's what you're talking about. Yeah. It's hard to find people to play.
And even at the middle school, unfortunately, that is where a lot of really good, talented players, regardless of sport, that's where they start to drop out.
Do you think the dropout occurs there, or does it drop out in transition to high school?
I think the biggest transition is from the eighth grade to the freshman year. That's where I notice it more in baseball. I don't know about other sports, but like.
Well, I think I see it in football a lot. We see a lot of, if you have a really good football team at the middle school,
mm-hmm.
They're not playing at the high school. You shouldn't play at the high school.
No, you're not. Yeah, you're not getting any starting. Yeah, you're not starting by any means. Right.
If you're starting, we're bad. I mean, yeah,
true. But at that point, though, coming in as a freshman, now if I'm not playing any, well, what am I coming back as a sophomore? Yeah, maybe not. Who's in front of me? Right.
I'm telling you, that's where I think that, like, you guys at the middle school have got to really tell these guys, look, you may not play for 2 years. Mm-hmm. But you got to grind it
hang
out.
Hang in
work,
there, absolutely.
You
know? Yeah, but hang in there.
I'm not sure kids are built that way anymore.
Anyway, my biggest job is I just try to get them to love the baseball, or love baseball, so they stick it out. Because especially these middle schoolers that's going up there right now, they're going to be behind a lot of talent for the next 3-4 years. So like, you're going to have to really go up there and work if you even want to get any playing time.
Yeah.
But back to the dropout. Baseball wise, I see it a lot going into the freshman year because I had 13 eighth graders last year. We had probably one of the most talented middle school teams since I've been there for 7 years, but I'm sure probably in a long time, to be honest. And I still had two or three of them drop out whenever they got to high school. I mean, they play in other sports. They play basketball or whatever else they do.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Good talent.
And they're very talented baseball players, but it's just.
But who are you behind in that position that you play? And what potentially, and I'm not saying this happens all over, but it is an effect. But then, who are you related to? Who are your parents? Right? Who under those circumstances? Because it happens. We all know it does. How many coaches' kids start and play? Well a majority of all of them in that regard, right?
I will say this though. I know what you're saying. I've coached for 36 years, I think now 35, 36 years. I've had people come to me and say, "Okay, you only take these guys. You only take these kids on your teams." I said, no, we'll take anybody who wants to play. The problem is, when you're freshman, sophomore, when they're coming out for a high school team, they have to have parents who can bring them. Mm-hmm. And we've got a lot of kids that there's no way those kids can get to you.
And that's so unfortunate. Yes, we talked about transportation in this community.
And I wish those kids had the same opportunities as our parents who do. Mm-hmm. Those are the kids that typically will play. Because the parents, there's enough support to get the kid to practice or pick them up after practice. And if you don't have that one group of people, the parents, you're the same way in middle school. Those kids, they can't play middle school ball without the parents or somebody that's willing to bring them to and pick them up, right?
And that's the biggest thing one of the biggest things we deal with is just, I mean, I can't really be mad at the kids most of the time when they're late to practice or what time I tell them to be there because they can't drive themselves there.
So right.
A fine line. Like, you want to have some type of like responsibility on the kids, but like a lot of it's on the parents at that age. And
hey, listen, if you're 15 and you're late for practice because mom or dad can't get you there, I can't make the parents run.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So you either have to be flexible and say, "Oh, we have to forgive you." Then the other players look, "Why ain't they having to run?" Well,
the way that I try to combat is if you're going to be late or you're going to miss practice, if you text me, then
you're good.
But if I don't hear from you, then that's on you because you have most of them have a cell phone or they can use their parents' cell phone. But like, if you're going to be late, you're going to miss practice, then you can text me or call me. But if you don't, that's the only way I can find to like combat that problem and have like a type of ownership on their part.
Because we're dependent on the parents.
Yeah.
You know, And I'll say this with the girls. I've only got 6 driving girls. I've got 19 kids. 6 of them need to know where to be. The other 15 or 14, whatever it is, 13, my math's bad, 13, I guess. The other 13 kids have got to find a way to get to practice.
And that's tough based on work schedules and whatever else. And even up at school, we've got some 5th grade boys that I keep talking, putting it in their ear almost all. Every day or every other day, man, you guys should be playing football. Do you guys play football? No, you need to be playing football. When you get to middle school, you need to be playing football. But then I look at them and you realize the socioeconomic status. They're probably not going to be able to play, but yet you can see it in them. Like, they'd be good linemen, good defensive end, whatever. Yep,
the kids are there.
Yeah, the kids are definitely there. And again, it's unfortunate the socioeconomic keeps certain kids from being able to participate in things like that.
The sad thing is, I've had conversations with kids. Well, only the preps get to play anyway. I'll never play. I know what they're looking at. I see what they're seeing. It's not what they think it is. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why you get a lot of non-prep folks playing football, because it's anybody and everybody. But some kids just don't view it that way either, because if you're not successful in the weight room, if you're not successful with getting there every day, you're not getting the benefits, and they can't depend on you. It's just hard. Like you, again, there is something to the socioeconomic. It's not just because I don't think there is some of that, I think, but not as much as people realize. It's about whose kids' parents can support.
Well, the transportation, yeah, options under those circumstances. And think about this. Our county is about 25 miles long, right? At that point, that's a long way to travel if you're on one end having to get to,
and you got to go up a holler.
See, even longer, right? I mean, it'll take you 30 minutes just to get to town, and you're, you know, only 8 miles away.
There's
some
places in Powell County that probably takes 35, 40 minutes to get to school every morning.
I'm sure. Yeah, there's no doubt. And again, if we could overcome that transportation issue and timing issue, there's no doubt we have the kids that are
kids
here.
Are
exactly. And again, that's just one of the barriers, but other people face that as well.
And that is something that I've been thinking about. Is we've had trouble getting time on the field practicing at the middle school level.
You're going to get me started again.
I've came up with a solution.
Okay, we're listening.
It just benefits, I guess, the middle school program.
We'll
have to come up with another solution.
Doesn't matter.
Keep going.
Yeah.
Keep rolling up there.
Okay, some of people know, but I have a baseball field at my house. So I'm going to work this summer and cut it out to fit 90-foot bases and fit more of a middle school field-wise, and we're going to start trying to practice there. But that's another issue, is like, I can't practice after school. I've got to rely on the parents to get them from the middle school to Airport Road.
Which is another problem.
That's another problem.
Right.
Insurance will be a problem.
Yeah. So I've been trying to find hurdles around that and stuff like that. But if we've only practiced maybe 5 times on the field all year. So like, if I want to develop these kids, I got to find somewhere to practice them.
Right. People got to understand that this is like, we got to make a push, and that there's so many people pushing for the new facility to be built.
Right? Elementary school.
Yeah. No, I'm talking about fields.
Okay. I thought you were talking about.
Well, that's the next in line, is the school.
Well, I mean, there's new facilities as far as fields would be going in that direction.
Yes, and I'm thinking if we could get the new baseball, softball complex, middle school softball's in the same boat. If we're practicing,
They're not.
They're out in the field. And it's just hodgepodge practice. Turn that field over to middle school. High school gets that field. You go this, which is another issue. But you go there, and they go there to play, and it's better. Obviously, we can bring the fences in. We do a lot of things over there to work with. That may be something you can talk to the city about. Maybe they could build another, quote, Pony League style field where, okay, we're only 280, but we're playing middle school ball on it with a 90-foot basis.
Right.
That's just something you could just throw it out.
I mean, I would take anything just to be able to get these kids on the field and practice. It's nothing toward the high school field.
No.
The high school team, they've got to do what they got to do.
Sure.
They get first dibs on the field. I mean, I deal with what I have to. But to be able to build it from the ground up, I'll need something to be able to let these kids take BP or work on defensive stuff. I mean, I can't do that in the gym. All I can really do in the gym is I can still do drills, but it's still not the real.
See, I need to turn him loose with Megan, because Megan would bite his head off right now, wouldn't she?
As far as the facilities?
Yeah. Because she would say, we got one.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
No, I'm just teasing. Like, this is a conversation we have a lot, and you get it because of what you're going through. If we look at the complexes we have community-wide, and I love what the city's done.
Absolutely.
But they're all built for baseball. Mm-hmm. We can use them. They've let us even use the field this year for softball, but they're built for baseball. Mm-hmm. And everybody knows that. It'd be great to have, like, I know what complex we have here at the city field. Wouldn't it be nice, though, to have a 4-field complex of both multi-distance fields with, you could play everything on those?
Sure.
I know that takes a lot of property to be able to get that done, but man, and a lot of money. That'd be the dream. Mm-hmm. With indoor hitting facility right there on site in the middle of that hub somewhere. Man, that gets kids hungry. That gets kids wanting to come out to play. That's something like that would just,
I mean, Easy Walker Park is a perfect example.
Dude.
And I get Montgomery as far as their economics and all that stuff. But if you look at that complex with everything they have over there, it'd be great if we had something. And not on that large scale necessarily,
well,
but it would be nice if we had something similar to that. You could go to Richmond and see the same thing.
If you had a high school field, middle school field, two practice facilities where you play like whatever on them, or have the baseball, maybe have that four field complex, your high school, middle school, baseball, and softball, all of them are played right there on the same site with the indoor facility. You could probably do that for less than what people think, but it's still going to be expensive. But wouldn't it be nice, though, to have something like that where you got at least got the facilities which you could use? Because right now, like you said, we're practicing middle school sports on ground that's not safe. I mean, for the kids. You can't teach them what they need to learn because you don't have a field to practice on. I mean, it's sad. With as many fields as we got, we still can't practice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just, we have the same conversation about gym time. We don't have enough gym space for our basketball people. We're just short facilities here at Powell County, and we're getting better. We're throwing darts at it. We just knock them up with the right configuration.
Think about this, too, though, at the city park. And, again, nothing but applause and everything for everything that they've done.
But
with that being said, though, all of the fields, and obviously it goes back to space and size or whatever, but everything is geared towards the little kids,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't have anything that's built for the bigger kids, and therein lies part of the problem.
Well, see, we can still play there because the dimensions fit ours. He can't play there because nowhere's dimensions.
Yeah, right.
He's seeing anywhere. And I'm talking about Derek.
Yeah. Sure.
It's just, you know, it's like everybody wants to practice high school basketball. We got one high school floor. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're going to practice those 10 because four people got to use that floor.
Yeah, but when some people are showing up at 9 o'clock in the evening to get a practice in, right? I'm just saying, right? No matter if it's cheerleading, yeah, doesn't matter who it is.
Write your local board members. All I can tell you, I mean, it's just,
I know, right?
And they know I'm saying this. You know,
well, again, these are the conversations we have off the air.
It's just we have so little, and we need more. And
yeah,
I know we don't have a lot of money, and our attendance needs to be better at school. We get more money. Just had that conversation with the superintendent last week at our meeting, so. Get that attendance back up, folks. We get more money, maybe get some things done, but we got to get some facilities going, or we have programs just kind of spinning in mud, just trying to go nowhere fast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's unfortunate. Again, because ultimately our kids are the ones that suffer.
Got that pride.
And you want to give them as much opportunity as you can in order to let them have a great life right here with sport. You know, brings the community together, no matter which one it is, and just giving them opportunities to use that potentially as a college scholarship. Who knows what? Again, team sports does so much more than what people even realize. Unless you've played it, you don't understand. If you played it, you understand what it meant to you to even go through that, whether it's the different coaches, the camaraderie, the teamwork. I mean, there's so much, so many life lessons within sports. It's profound, to be honest with you.
I mean, it's I don't think we don't teach enough stuff to teach what goes on in team sports. It just, you don't build relationships like you do in team sports. That doesn't happen anywhere. You don't learn work ethic like you do in team sports. Like, I would hire any athlete we have for the most part because I know they got good work ethic.
Well, and why do you think a lot of businesses will automatically even go after someone who served in the military?
The same.
I know you're training, right? I know what you've kind of been through, so therefore I know you're going to be dedicated, committed, and disciplined to do the work.
Yep.
Same thing with kids that play sports.
Look at colleges. Did you do a sport in high school? We know you're going to be more dedicated. We know you're going to put yourself out there,
yeah,
and you're going to get the job done.
Right.
And that's what kids think. That's what schools think about kids that played high school baseball. You know, who cares in the big picture, but it is important. And I just think we're missing the mark a little bit. And we've got more than we've ever had, and we still don't have enough. So we're just missing the mark somewhere. We need more.
Yeah.
City, keep working on what you're doing because you're going the right direction. I love what the city's done so far. It's just that much more we want. You give us more, we want more. That's just who we are.
True. And at the same time, somebody have some land, want to donate it, you know,
we'll take it, right?
I'm sure the city, county, somebody will use it and hopefully develop some facilities.
We'll step on more toes next week. But before we get to next week, we're going to try not to
because...
Oh, we will.
Well, at this point, though, next week we're going to try and have the bass team.
Okay.
Yeah, the bass team's competing this weekend, competitions, and so we'll have the bass team on next week, and some of them have a really good chance to win some trophies, et cetera.
I'm just going to mention again, make sure you stay tuned to WSKV. Check out the website for the district information, which will be played before we're back on.
Yes.
Unless we're playing while we're on next week.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
So hopefully we're on the
Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. Excuse me. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday.
Back Wednesday, you know who's in the championship game. Championship softball has already been decided. So, again, it's Happy Top Park for softball.
Lee
Elementary?
Yep, Lee County Elementary.
That's
for baseball.
That's where baseball is. No lights. Games all start at 5:30. Powell County plays on
Tuesday
5:30.
And that Esco will actually...
County plays Owsley
Monday at 5:30.
Powell plays the league on the, and I guess it's the same brackets.
Yeah.
Estill Owsley will play 5:30 on
Monday.
Happy Top Softball. Powell will play Lee 7 o'clock or 30 minutes after the first game at Happy Top Park on Monday night, championship game on Tuesday at 6. So a lot to be going on next week while we are not on the air, unless rain pushes it all back, because there's forecast rain, I think, Saturday through Tuesday.
Right. Now, we'll say this. Tuesday's game, the boys' game on Tuesday, we'll have Jimmy Crace and Derek Robinson. We'll be doing the broadcast. I had a prior commitment to take a field trip to the Louisville Zoo. I can't get out of that.
Right.
My regular job. Say that again.
I'm hoping to have a prior commitment.
Yes, exactly. I hope you do as well. I'm committed to the Louisville Zoo that day.
Come support the girls on Monday. Support the boys on Tuesday. If you're an Estill County fan, obviously come support your girls on Monday and Monday. So you'll all be split up this year. So, again, good luck to all of our crews from the WSKB family.
Yes, you're exactly right. Go Pirates. Go Lady Pirates.
There you go. Thanks for listening to PCSN Live with Dave, Ken, and Derek. See you next week.
Joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guaranteed Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy.
Stanton Tourism invites...